Good morning, gentlemen. It's nice to be back in a little bit. Before we begin, I just wanted to share a thought with you that I heard last night. I attended the dinner for the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, my yeshiva. And one of the speakers, who is himself a graduate of the yeshiva, set over an idea which is really taken straight from the teachings of our Rosh Hashiva, our former Rosh Hashiva, Hanach Lubowitz et al. He set over something from actually this coming Parsha, Parsha's Toldos. And the Pasuk says that Hashem will give blessing and bless you and your children, you're speaking to Yitzchak. And it says, on account of the fact that Avraham listened to me, Ekev Asher Shema Avraham B'Koli, Vayishma Mishmarti Yechukos Adesar Osai. Avraham was, so to speak, my devoted servant, my dedicated servant, and on account of that, that's why I, Hashem, am going to give you all this wonderful blessing. I'll give you a tzitzal, and give you many children, and so on and so forth. So the Sfarno explains that the reason that Yitzchak is not mentioned by name in this particular sentence, meaning, is not Yitzchak also a devoted servant of Hashem, and did not Yitzchak also have enough merit that it would be on his account that all these rewards and blessings should come to them, to the Bnei Yisrael? So the Sfarno answers, he explains that Avraham had already become somebody who disseminated Torah, somebody who went out and gave Torah over to the masses. Yitzchak, despite the many merits that he had, I mean, certainly we can give to his credit the case Yitzchak, he was willing to give his life and to be sacrificed because that was what he believed was Hashem's will. Nevertheless, the fact that after the high level that Yitzchak was on, he had still not begun to teach Torah and to bring others closer to Hashem, that sort of prevented him from having the requisite schutz to generate such a wonderful reward for his descendants. Avraham, on the other hand, had already begun to do this, and therefore Avraham was considered sort of worthy. Or his merits were capable of generating such a tremendous reward. I think it gives us a tremendous insight into the value that Hashem places on how much we're able to give over Torah to others, and how much we're able to bring others close to Hashem and close to our Lord Hashem. As much as possible in our daily life, if we find a way to help others, you know, and of course in the proper way, not in a way that's offensive or in a way that makes others feel like they're sort of the object of our mitzvah, but in a way that shows that we're doing it because we care about them. If we're able to do that and we have opportunities to do that during our day, whether it's our particular panata or our actual job, our occupation, or it's just an opportunity that we happen to have on a day-to-day basis here and there in our interactions with others. It's a very, very valuable opportunity to seize, if we can. We see the tremendous value that the Torah places upon it, that the reward that was going to be given to the Bnei Yisrael, the Baruch Yisrael, and the tremendous descendants, and so on, was based on Avraham and Yitzchak, because Avraham was the disseminator of Torah, and Yitzchak had not yet begun to do that. It's just a nice thought that I heard last night at the dinner. And with that, I think we should continue our studies in Sefer. We were on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph when last we left off. And we had been discussing at some length what happens if a person has an onus. A person has some kind of an accident that prevents him from fulfilling some kind of a duty that he had, depending on the particulars of the case. We were discussing originally what happens in terms of Kedushin, if he made a Tanai that he was going to marry somebody, not a Tanai, excuse me, but he had confusion to somebody in the requisite time after that the demons sue him to finalize that marriage. It was about a year, and the year had come, and it was time to get married, but he was unable to do so for whatever reason. Either he got sick or so on, and then we discussed sort of the tangent of that, and as the Gemara has a habit of doing. What exactly is Rava's opinion about a similar type of case in the realm of din, a divorce contract, if a person makes a tenai that he's going to return or so on, and the validity of the get is dependent on his return or not, based on the condition that he put into the contract. So what happens if an onus occurs and prevents him from fulfilling the tenai? These are cases that, and laws that we discussed for the last, really just about the entire last block. Two sides of the page. A decent amount of discussion given over to this, which, especially given that how it's not really part of the inherent idea of what Ksubas is all about. But then again, Ksubas is also known as Shas Katan, little Talmud, little Shas, because of all the tremendous ideas that are found in it, and all the ideas which are not necessarily Ksubas related that are found in it. So as we go through this, as we go through the Sefer, we'll see many, many places that the Gemara has a tendency to go off and discuss things that aren't exactly, related to the ideas of the Sefer. Okay, but now the Gemara is going to come back and discuss a little bit more directly the ideas of Ksubas. And they're going to discuss the idea in our Mishnah that a Besuva gets married on Wednesday, a virgin gets married on Wednesday, and an Almana, a widow, gets married on Thursday. And we know that the Mishnah has given a reason, because it's twice a week that the Beis Din sits. Twice a week the Beis Din sits and passes judgment. And we want the person, the chassan, to be able to come if he has some kind of a claim against her virginity, and come on the next morning. We want that next morning to be time when the court is actually in session. And so therefore, since the court tends to be in session on Mondays and Thursdays, we want him to get married Wednesday night, in the case of a virgin at least. So we discuss why not Sunday night. The reason is because we want the kala to be able to have a nice wedding, and there should be a few days at the beginning of the week to prepare the wedding. If it was Sunday and it was right after Shabbat, there wouldn't be able to be any preparation done except for Masa Shabbat and Sunday morning. So we therefore say she gets married on Wednesday night. The Gemara is now going to discuss where exactly this idea of Beis Din sitting on particular days came from. We're on Gimel Amud Aleph towards the bottom. The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. It's about 7 or 8 lines up from the bottom. Let us begin it now. Omar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Lo Shanu Ela Mitakanat Ezra Ve'elach. We only learned, referring to our Mishnah, that the halacha is true from the time of the Takana of Ezra and on after that. Shein Bati Din Kulan. Because Beis Din is not kavu, is not set. Ela b'sheni v'chamishi, except for on Monday and Thursday. Every other day of the week, it's not unheard of that there would be a Beis Din in session. However, that is not the norm. Aval kodim takanat Ezra, but before the takanat Ezra, shebat din kavu in b'chol yom, that Beis Din was kavu, was set in session every single day. Isha nisis b'chol yom, a woman could get married any day of the week. Because this whole concern of what day it should be, that the chassan should be able to come in the next morning and be able to find a Beis Din when he comes, is not an issue. He'll come any day and he'll find a Beis Din. And once that's true, we no longer have the takana of shaktu. The takana of shaktu is the idea that Okawa should have several days, not herself, but there should be several days. For the sake of the kala, the wedding should be nice. Again, we're going to discuss that idea in a minute. But in any event, this leaves a little bit to be desired, as the Gemara is going to spell out, because why would Ezra come along to be misakin and create an enactment that even though Beth right now is in session every day, we only want him in session Mondays and Thursdays. What exactly is the point of that? So the Gemara asks as follows. Kodem takanas Ezra, before the takanas Ezra, my dehava hava. It was whatever it was. In other words, don't tell me that, oh, there was some set thing every single day before the takanas Ezra, because presumably, when Ezra came along, he was talking something, it was more a function of there wasn't really any set schedule for Cliff to be in session. Ezra was specifically coming along in order to create such a schedule. So it's a little funny for the Baisa to tell me that there was something going on. So the Gemara answers, Ha'chei Ka'ama. This is how was what it was trying to say. Ika bate dinin de kivuin ha'idna kikodem takanas Ezra. If nowadays there were Bezdin that were in session, just like they were before the time of Ezra, Ishimishes b'chol yom, a woman could get married every single day. Rashi says a very, very telling line. Look at the Rashi where he says Shebate dinim kvuim b'chol yom, Bezdin was in session every single day. Kolomar, as if to say, and just as a sort of a rule, generally, when Rashi says the word kolomar, he's introducing his comments to the kolomar because he's taking the words out of what should be their literal meaning and sort of giving them a spin that the literal translation shouldn't have. He says, as if to say, shekaviyas kol hayam mishaveh, that the setness, that the degree of actual scheduling of every single day was equal. The implication Rashi has is that not that every single day was in fact really kavua, was in fact set, but that they all had the equal amount of kviyas. But really, that doesn't necessarily imply that every day was in fact a set court day. Rather, no day was more set than next. If that in fact what was happening during the time of Ezra, so then it makes a little bit more sense what exactly Ezra was coming along to do. Ezra was coming, according to Rashi, Ezra was coming along to make instead of having every single day have some kind of a level of kriyas, but a relatively low level of kriyas where you couldn't really count on there being a court in session just because you went there. Ezra came along and said, we're only going to do Monday and Thursday, but Monday and Thursdays are going to be sort of set in stone. There will always be a court in session on Monday and Thursday. So that is Rashi's opinion of what the Gemara's back and forth is. The Gemara, however, has a slight problem with this new reading of the Baisa. If we're going to say that the reading of the Baisa is, or I should say the reading of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok's statement is, that before Ezra they were sort of mildly kavua, but not really kavua, and after Ezra came along they were completely kavua, but only on Monday and Thursday, and the advice is saying that if there were such that Bezdin the way they are today, I mean, because Monday and Thursday is like super set, super scheduled, and if it was like that before the time of Ezra, so that before the time of Ezra, it would be that every single day was a real set court day, then a woman could get married any day. The Gemara challenges that statement that a woman would be able to get married any day, even in such a world where the court was absolutely in session every single day. You want to ask, how about you mean Shaktu? Don't we need Shaktu, a reference to the idea that a Kala wants 3 days, or at least more than one day, to have the wedding preparations, so the wedding should be a nice, beautiful wedding? Says Rashi, Bahabad and Shaktu, she hates her ass to see the Shoshi Elmas, and they should be involved in making the Suda for 3 days. So the Gemara answers the Tariyachle that he put in the effort. Rashi says the Tariyachle, in Taras, if Meha Shabbos, if he went to all the effort, I think the he in this instance is the Chasam, if he went to all the effort before Shabbos to keep himself kashid and prepare the needs of the wedding party, then he in fact could marry her on Sunday or Monday. And again, if we're not concerned about there being a court in session, because we're assuming that this would be in a world where every single day was an actual court day, and not just like a haphazard, maybe there's a court, maybe there's not, but rather a set thing. You know, if you go to court, you can count on there being a bezdin in session. And that's, in such an instance, Rabbi Shmuel Beis is telling us, then a person would be able to get married on any day of the week. Says Tosus, and this is interesting because I believe Tosus is going to tell us a way of understanding these few steps slightly different than Rashi. Rashi didn't tell us much, but he did tell us that idea of Shabbat Din Purim B'chol Yom means that each day's kfiyas is equal. Not that they're absolutely set every single day. Let us see how Tosus understands our Gemara. So that Tosus says, each and each is B'chol Yom. Kosher l'Rashba, the Rashba had a kasha. Amar nitis b'chol yom. How could she get married any day? Tehei ka'almana, she should be like an almana. Because you know, see, behei, if you bow, she should be shenem, I will bracha l'adam. Tosus is saying a very nice point, and very often Tosus uses some these kinds of points to sort of get underneath, or to help us get underneath. Tosus perhaps wouldn't need that help, but sometimes for us, it's hard for us to really see exactly what's doing in the back and forth of the Gemara, what was really going on in the conversation with the Amoraim we're having. And Tosus, through his piercing questions and through his analysis, when he shares that with us, helps us to kind of see what's really going on in the back and forth of the Amoraim. And through trying to understand Tosus, we can gain a much greater and deeper understanding of what the Gemara is telling us. So Tosus starts with the following question. He says, don't we know there's an idea, and we haven't gotten to this Gemara yet, the Gemara is going to discuss this in the next few blocks, that there's a bracha. The reason that the Mishnah says an almana gets married on Thursday evening is in order that she should be together with her husband on Thursday evening, which is really the night of Friday, meaning the night before Friday, but of course that's really the night of the sixth. And the sixth day of creation is the day in which there was said Puruvu Melutara to Adam, to people. So it's sort of an auspicious day for a husband and wife to be together and to get married. And so we don't have all the other considerations that we've mentioned until now that exist by the Surah, then the next best night should be Thursday night. So even in the world where Bezin is set every single day, why are you getting married any day? Get married on Thursday night always. So the Tosfos answers, V'yishlomer, D'mishum bracha lo hayu kovim yom. That on account of a bracha, which is a good reason to pick a day, they wouldn't actually set a day. Kedepreshus la'el, like the Gemara explained earlier. V'amonanami lo kavu shetipo al-bashishi, mishum bracha greita, ala mishum shaktu shehir sameachim agimo yomim. Let's hold off on that line for 1 second. Just to explain Tosfos' answer, Tosfos is telling us that just because of the fact that there's an Indian to get married on a Thursday night because there's some bracha which can be accomplished, or some bracha which makes it an auspicious time to get married, that's not enough of a reason for Chazal to create a specific day to get married. And it's only once Chazal was creating a day, and that day was going to be the set day, then did we use considerations like whether this day is an auspicious day based on the bracha that's said in the Torah, or this other day is an auspicious day for some other reason? Then we use considerations of that nature. But it's only after we're choosing to set a day at all. If we have no other reason to set a day, sort of the auspiciousness of the day is not enough of a reason for us to say you can only get married on Thursday. And even though we know from the Gemara later on that by Almana, that's the reason she gets married on Thursday night. That is the explanation the Gemara gives for the Mishnah. So if that's the case, so then didn't those just say we don't use that auspiciousness to set a day? Why, in fact, are we setting it to be a day for Almana based on that idea of the bracha that was said on the sixth day?
Because his answer is Yuvamana Nami Lo Kalu, Shivi Babashishi. Vayamana also, they didn't establish that she should get, that she should be together with her husband on the 6th. In other words, that she should get married on the 6th day of the week. Mishum Bracha Greza. Merely because of this idea of the bracha, the auspiciousness, that wasn't the only reason. That would be Shem Shaktu. There was another idea of what's called Shaktu, this idea of Shaktu, that the Chachamim literally means that they were concerned. That the Chachamim, Chazal, were concerned about certain needs, or certain, not really needs, but sort of almost like emotional needs, of the Kala. And in this instance, by Amana, is that we were concerned that oftentimes, and if the person's marrying Amana, maybe it's a second marriage, there's a concern that the chassan will not really take off from his regular daily obligations to sort of just be with his wife and celebrate their newly formed marriage. Rather, he'll go back to work the next day. So, therefore, they established that the wedding should occur on Thursday night in order that at least for 3 days, the chassan should take off, because Friday is a short day, and if the wedding was the night before, we can feel confident we won't go into work, and then Shabbat on Sunday. Kedama the Kaman. Like it says later on, Sunday, of course, is not really a day off. Generally, I mean, in America it is, but of course, Chazal, we're not working with that situation. We'll see when we get closer on Daf Dalet, I believe, when we discuss this concept of Shakti in the Gemara, excuse me, on Daf Hei, then exactly what is going on there, what the 3 days are, and so on and so forth. But suffice it to say that there was this takana in existence, and therefore it wasn't only because of the bracha, the auspiciousness that we established today for an almana, it was also because of this idea of shaktu. Just to point out, it's interesting to note this idea of shaktu that exists both by an almana, so that she should get at least 3 days with her chassan to celebrate, and both and by a besula as well, that she should have several days for preparation for her wedding, so that the wedding feast should be a real festive meal and a really adequately prepared party. It's interesting to note the way Chazal made takanos just for these kinds of seemingly minor things. These are emotional needs of women. Why should we be worried about that? Halacha. We care about what's important. What does the halacha say? What does the law say that we have to do? When are we allowed to get married? When are we not allowed to get married? We're concerned because the party's not going to be big enough? Make a big party. Or don't make a big party. What's the difference? Of course, the answer is that that's not the way Chazal operated. Chazal were concerned for the feelings of an almana and a besula who are getting married and may feel that their celebration is going to be marred by this or that. It's worthwhile for us to take it into consideration and to do our best to give them, you know, the celebration that they've always dreamed of, so to speak. It's something for us to emulate and model ourselves after as much as possible, to remember that that's the way Chazal acts, that's the way we should act as well. Okay, a little bit of a digression there. Tosus goes on to say, and by Basula, it's not possible to say this reason, the Lekalanir and Ashkin Numanutsu, because by Basula he's not going to get up to his work and just go. Because there by Basula, there's 7 days of partying. So, just because of a bracha, they wouldn't set a day. So, we get a little bit of a glimpse into how Tosus feels about our Gemara in terms of Batadin and Kulun B'chol Yom. Because of the fact that he says, Yishinish is B'chol Yom, and he seems to feel that there's no reason why that can't happen. Just, what about the bracha situation? What about this whole idea that the certain days being more auspicious than others? So he seems to feel, perhaps differently than Rashi. Rashi says that every day has equal kviyas, but not that any one day has real kviyas. Tosus doesn't necessarily make a comment about that. Let us just take a look at the next Tosus very quickly. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Tosus that I actually wanted to focus on was the previous Tosus. It's the one where Tosus really spells out his opinion more clearly. He didn't give us a glimpse in that Tosus. However, the prior Tosus, the Tosus, Dibur HaMaskel, Shabbat HaDin, Kfu'in B'chol Yom, was the Tosus that I actually would like to focus on. So as it says, "Din Toma v'chitikin Ezra shalayhu batei din mikvuin b'chol yom." Ela b'beis uvehei dovad. Did Ezra come along and be misakin? This is something that we were discussing. Is Ezra coming along to tell us that only on Mondays and Thursdays? We used to have beds in every day. We don't want to have it every day anymore. Now we're only going to have it on Mondays and Thursdays. Seems a bit odd. So let's just skip ahead to tell us this is the answer so that we can get through a significant portion of Gimel and Beis. Tell us this is the answer for Omer Rabbeinu Tam, another line and a half down. The Kodim Takanas Ezra, the before the Takanas Ezra, Lohayu Kruin B'chol Yom Elakisha Hayusrifim. They weren't set on every day, rather only when they needed it. L'shundin, for some stock that had to be issued, Hayyoshim B'chol Yom V'yom. They would sit on every day whenever that came up. Ezra establishes it should be set on only Mondays and Thursdays. And anybody who needed some kind of adjustment to be passed would come on those days. So that Mahalach is really quite similar to Rashi's, giving us the idea, and this sort of embellishes what Rashi told us, that before Ezra, every day had equal kviyas, and not that there was actually a real kviyas, but that every day was minimally kavua, was minimally scheduled, and it was only if they needed some kind of judgment to a cast. But after Ezra, they had real kviyas. And then the Gemara says that if nowadays it was set like it was before Ezra, in other words, it was every day, but also had the real previous that we have now on Mondays and Thursdays, then you could get married on every day. But of course, before Ezra came along, a person would not be able to get married on any given day. Okay, let's take a look at Gemara and Beis. The Gemara asks the following question: Mai Shaktu? What is Shaktu? We just mentioned this idea of Shaktu, but what is it? So, of course, you and I have a little bit of a head start on exactly what that is, but the Gemara is now introducing it formally for the first time. Titanya, that we learned in the Braisa, Nitnema Amru Basula Nisish Liyom Haravi. Why did the Chazal say that a Basula gets married on Wednesday? Shim Hayal Otan of Basulim, that if a person would have time of Basulim, he would have a time against the college virginity. Hayamashkin Ubazdin, he would get up and go to Bezdin and see Nazi Bachab B'Shabbos. He would get up and go to Bezdin the next morning and be able to express his time. So the Gemara, the Baita really, then asks the following question to see Nazi Bachab B'Shabbos. So get married on Sunday, you have a time to school and Hayamashkin Ubazdin. And if he would have some kind of a claim, he would get up early and go to Bezdin the next day, which is Monday. And of course, we know that Mondays and Thursdays were 2 days, and Bezdin was in fact set, and it was in session. So the Baraita answer is, Shaktu Chachamim Maltakonos, the notes, Yisrael. Here it is in print, that the Chachamim were concerned about sort of the Takana, I don't know the translation in this context, of the daughters of Yisrael, she and the Adam Terech, the Siddur Shloshi Yom, that a person should work hard for a meal for 3 days, Acha B'Shabbos, D'Sheni B'Shabbos, D'Shlishi B'Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Uvirvihi Konsel, and then on Wednesday they would get married, and they would be able to have an elaborate Suda, and the Kala would be happy with the preparations for the wedding, be happy with the size of the party, the preparations for the party, etc. Then the bride says a very funny thing, which the Gemara is going to go on to analyze in great depth. And from the time of the danger and onward, what danger is this, again, the Gemara is going to discuss. The people accustom themselves to get married on Tuesday. They began to do it on Tuesday rather than on Wednesday because there was some kind of a danger on Wednesday. Again, we don't know what that is yet. And the Chachamim, the rabbis, did not make any kind of a complaint about this practice, rather they allowed it to pass, and they didn't actually give their approbation, perhaps, but they did not give any kind of complaint and stop the practice from occurring either. So the people don't get married on Tuesdays. But on Monday, they didn't get married, and it almost sounds like the rabbis did not let them get married on Monday. But if it was because of an onus, what's this onus? Again, the Gemara is going to discuss, we don't really know yet. Mutter. Then, in fact, they could get married on Monday, even as early in the week as Monday. Umafrishin is a choshen and a kala with Shabbos. Now, then, there's another halacha that we separate the choshen from the kala on Friday nights, tchila, meaning the first time that the choshen and kala are going to be together, if it's going to be a Friday night, we push that out and say, no, Friday night they can't be together. Because of the fact that he's creating a wound, so to speak, when he's with his wife for the first time, and he's going to cause blood to come out, that's a wound, so to speak, and that's not allowed to be done on Shabbos, and therefore we have them wait till Matzah Shabbos. So now the Gemara goes and tries to understand what exactly some of these questionable, troubling lines of the Braita mean. What is the sakana? What was the danger? Ilema, if you'll tell me, that if the tzura who gets married on Wednesday gets killed, so the Gemara asks, Nagu, so then you're going to tell me that they sort of made it into a minhag, they tended to get married on Tuesdays, the Gamri Niyakreg. If the problem is that a basula is going to get killed if she gets married on Wednesday, then you can imagine, however important the sakon of the hachamim may have been, however important the hachamim may have felt it was, they certainly would not have maintained such a sakon in the face of the basula, the kala, actually getting murdered on account of getting married on Wednesday. Of course you would get married a different day. So, therefore the Gemara doesn't feel that that's a valid explanation for what the sakon was. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba answers, what was the danger? The Amre, that they said, that the Baisha authorities made a decree, Besula Hanifis Diyom Haravi, and Besula who gets married on Wednesday, Tivala Hegemon Tefila. She has to be together with the Hegemon, some kind of a hegemon, a governor, some kind of a local ruler, before she was with her husband. So he sounds like a pretty sick and vicious decree. This is the kind of persecution that Jews have been under for so long. Thankfully, in America, we're lucky to not have such persecution. However, the Gemara asks, doesn't seem satisfied with this explanation, because, Hi Sakana, are you going to tell me that's a danger? Oh, not to. It's not a Sakana, because there's no real danger that's going to occur if the Basula is together with the Hegemon. It's not a good thing, but it's certainly not a danger. Rather, it's sort of a forced thing, an onus, an accident. Not to say that that isn't a good reason to get married a different day, but rather that the brisa referring to it as a sakana, as a danger, implies that we're not discussing a case like that. The choice of words, the Tanayim, the writers of such Mishnahs or brisos, were very particular and careful with their word choice. If you use the word sakana, it's because it wasn't that danger, not just some kind of a decree which forced them into a different position. So therefore, the Gemara's explanation is not exactly adequate. So the Gemara answers and tries to defend this approach. Mishum diyika tnuos demasra nafshaya l'ktala va'asru nidei sakana. The Gemara answers, because the word tnuos is not the first time we've had the term tnuos in Amasakta, similar ideas here, that they would give their lives over to be killed. And then it would come to be a danger. Meaning, they would go to the Hegemon, so to speak, because the decree was they had to go to the Hegemon first. They would say, I'd rather die than be together with this man. And then there would be a danger, because potentially the local authorities would in fact kill her. So the Gemara asks, that's wonderful, but why don't we just tell them that it's not a problem? Tell them that as bad as the situation is, better in this instance to be together with this man and not be killed. Right? And even though we know that the three cardinal sins, which are better to give up one's life for than to transgress, are Giri Arayos, Shvichatan Avodah Zarah, right? Idolatry, murder, and immoral relations. And this certainly counts as immoral relations. Nevertheless, by a woman who's able to, who's sort of not the active participant, and she's more passive, she's not actually doing anything, and in her case, Tosus explains that she is not obligated to give up her life in such a situation. So the Gemara says, let's tell them that an onus is in fact mutter. And then it won't be in Sakhan anymore. Why are we moving the day off of the particular day that the Chachamim shows? Which is a little bit surprising, because you would think there's a choice between having her be together with whatever local authorities, governor, whoever it was, and moving it off of the originally chosen day by the Chachamim. You would think the choice would be obvious. We would simply get married on Tuesday. Let's do whatever we can to avoid the sick gezeirah, the sick decree of the Gaiish authorities, the local government. It gives us a little bit of an insight. Perhaps when we see various sources and Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, we'll see a little bit more what's going on. But it gives us a little bit of an insight into just how strong, once Chazal create a takana, some kind of an enactment or a law about anything, even something such as which day of the week should a person be getting married, once that takana is in place, to move it is not at all a simple thing. Mm-hmm. And we often are scared and hesitate to move anything off of a previously established takana Chazal. And even though it's not a quote-unquote diraisa, it's really drabanan, but still, we are careful with this thing. And we are very, very, very hesitant to the point of even perhaps allowing a girl to be together with the hegemon. But in any event, the Gemara at this point is a little bit confused by the explanation we're giving for the baisa, because why should that be a sakana? Again, the lashon of sakana still seems a little bit strange. It's not a danger. Tell them that an onus is mutter. That it's mutter for her to do something. She doesn't have to give up her life. So the Gemara answers, Ika prusos. There are prusos who sort of would be together with a hegemon, and again, a prusa is like a, I don't know what the best word for it is. Not exactly an immoral woman, but a woman who would not be so unhappy, let us say, if she ended up being together with this hegemon, and on her account, we would say, let this happen, because if she's together with the hegemon, she will in fact sort of want to. And the tricky part is that although it's tznua, if she's a passive participant and is together with the hegemon, does not obligate to give up her life, somebody who is in fact going to be a more active participant, somebody who in fact would want to be together with this other man, would in fact be obligated to give up her life. It's ironic because it's the one person who is less likely to actually do it. But nevertheless, that is the halacha based on whether or not they're going to sort of enjoy or want to be together with this man. And the Gemara says, economic kahenos, and there are also kahenos, female kahanim. Now, what exactly is the significance of this, we're going to see soon, but the basic idea is that generally, a woman who is raped is allowed to be together with her husband afterward, even though a woman who is infidelitous, a woman who commits adultery, is not allowed to be together with her husband. If a woman is raped, she is. However, by a Kohen, the law is a little bit more strict, and even if it was a rape, a woman is not allowed to be together with her husband if her husband is a Kohen anymore, or if she... So that's the Gemara's explanation for now. Let's just get through the rest of the session, then we can go see how Rashi and Tosfos take apart this Gemara. So you ask, and this is a little bit of the point that we were touching on, the significance of a takana of Chazal, of the Liakri, and just uproot it, just make a takana not exist. Why are you having this whole problem with it turning into a takana? And again, just you'll know that the Gemara only asks the question of uprooting the takana after we've already established that it is in fact some kind of a danger. But not just that she's being forced to be together with the hegemon. So it's a little bit strange almost. But again, it gives us a little bit of an insight into the strength of the takana of Chazal. So, but the Gemara asks, now that it is in fact a danger, so why don't we uproot the takana? Now that, again, takana for danger, that we would be willing to uproot the takana of Chazal. So the Gemara answers, Gzeira Avida Debatla. The Gzeira, this decree of the local authorities, the local government, is sort of likely to become batal. It's likely to become null and void. It's not likely to last, such as such a gzera. Local governments, local authorities come and go, but the Tanu Chazal is a lasting thing. And the Gemara says, if I come to the Rabbanon, if I come to the rabbis, and I come to gzera, because there's some kind of gzera of theirs, we will not uproot it just like that, all willy-nilly. Their gzera don't have the lasting power the Chazal's Tachanos do. Therefore, we say we're going to wait it out. Again, still a little bit hard to understand exactly why that's true. You would think that if the rabbis made this rule for the benefit of Klal Yisrael in one way or another, you know, it's important, but wouldn't you think that it's more important to make sure that a girl should not have to be together with a hegemon or some kind of local governor before she's together with her husband? It's certainly somewhat strange. So then the Gemara asks, Ihaki, if this is so, if this is all the explanation, on the third day also, on Tuesday, he will also come. So why are we helping anything by moving it to Tuesday? If the gzera is that on Wednesday that when a girl gets married, has to go together to be together with the hegemon first. So on Tuesday also he'll come and he'll enforce his gzera. He'll rewrite the rules and say Tuesday instead of Wednesday. It's not really helping anything. So the Gemara answers, "Mishreka lo akar nashe." Because of a doubt, he will not uproot himself. In other words, it's likely that he made this local governor, or whoever it is, made this law because of the fact that he knows that Jews tend to get married on Wednesdays. But if we don't actually change our own takana, but we happen to get married on Tuesdays, it's sort of less of a set thing, and the governor is less likely to come and find out what the story is. So stay in his hometown and not bother us, because he doesn't really know for sure there's even going to be a wedding on a Tuesday. Okay, definitely we raised some troubling points in this Gemara. Let us see if we can get some deeper clarity through Rashi and through Tosfos' explanations of the Gemara. Rashi says, but let's read through, we'll try reading through all the Rashi's quickly. Let's see if it's sort of, when we get the total picture of Rashi's explanation, we have some greater clarity. Rashi says, when the Nesakon of the Eilah for Kaman the Farishla, this is the part of Rashi that was in the Baisa. And in fact, because it's the part of the Rashi that's in the Baisa, let's actually skip ahead a little bit. Rashi, Dibarmah, Komahagu. This is where the Gemara was challenging. Why are you telling me that if a Basula who gets, the Gemara had brought up the idea, maybe the danger is that a Basula who gets married on Wednesday will be killed. So the Gemara said, Nahagu, you're going to tell me they only made it into a minhag, they would completely uproot the Tekana that was going to lead to a Basula getting killed every time she tried to get married. The Gemara says, Rashi says, Bitnia, but the word Nahagu is read sort of as a question. Nahagu. And then Rashi explains, Shakanas Nefashati, it is a danger. It's a mortal danger. At Amid Nagu, Lukhav Yom Shlishi, and you wrote that you said that just that they were no hate, they just had a minute to do it on Tuesdays. Abu Meir reviewed the Damid Al-Agri, but they did not actually completely uproot the Takan of getting married on Wednesdays. Niakwe, let us uproot it. Yishnu and Yom Nachem, and we'll establish other days in which the hegemon did not have some kind of a crazy Takan like this. So then we explained that it was because the takana of the local government was that a girl has to be together with the hegemon before she can be together with her husband. So the Gemara, Rashi explains, religious lehuda onas shari, dinadalas baonas, that she's sort of together with her hegemon as an accident to rape. In an aseret habayilah, in such a situation, a woman does not become ushered to her husband. If that's the case, they should not give themselves over to death on account of something which is not even going to make themselves ushered to their husbands. So already we see that Rashi, and we got a little bit of a glimpse into this when the Gemara used the term kahenos, Rashi is understanding the back and forth of the Gemara as being a debate about, or a concern about whether or not a woman is going to be ushered to her husband. If a woman is in fact going to be ushered to her husband, so then we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so Because of that, we'll perhaps move his wedding off from Monday to Tuesday or something of that sort. And therefore, that was the Gemara's concern. And so, therefore, according to Rashi, when we want to tell the Tznuah, we said, oh, an onas, a rape is okay. We're trying to tell her an onas is something which is not asked to your husband, so it's okay. Not getting involved with whether or not it's in fact an obligation for her to give up her life, but rather only about whether or not she's going to become asked to her husband. And apparently, according to Rashi, what would happen is that the Tznuah, because they knew that they'd become asked to their husband, would then give up their life. But if they were told they're not going to become asked to their husband, and they're not going to give up their lives. And so let's just tell them. Tell them that it's a rape, and therefore you're still going to be with your husband. They won't give up their lives, and there won't be a sakana anymore. It won't be a danger. Why do we have to move the wedding from Wednesday to Tuesday? And again, we see the idea that once the sakana of Chazal is in place, we stick with it. So the Gemara answered that. She says, Ika Prusos. There are Prusos, the Imikivinu, that if we in fact are to tell them that it's mutter, Abdi Baratun will do it willingly, even at Sarah Shabbalah, and then it's no longer a rape because they're doing it willingly, and they're going to be ushered to their husbands because the woman who's together with another man, not by a rape, is in fact ushered to her husband. And so that the tricky part of Rashi now is so we're still, where's the danger? Where's the sakana? That's bad. It would be very bad if they become ushered to their husbands. Perhaps the answer is because since the women would know that they're going to be Barasun, they would sacrifice their lives, because then it becomes something which they have to sacrifice their lives for. Unclear. Maybe the next Rashi will make it a little bit clearer. Zikanami Kehenos, and there are also women who are married to the Kohanim, Shemasar Shabbalei and Afronos, if they become Ashur the husbands even by rape, the Inu Mashur Nashayel Nishim, they would give themselves over to be killed, the Ashish Kohen Shemansa Asur the Bailo. So we have a little bit of a problem with Rashi. Let's just clarify this problem, that the Gemara's answer of Prusos, that there's someone who would be together with the Hagman willingly, and therefore it's not a rape, it doesn't sort of clarify why there's a danger. Because again, if they're doing it willingly, so obviously they're not giving themselves over to be killed. I mean, one thing we could suggest that is that because they know about themselves that they would do it willingly, then they'll give themselves over because they know that doing it willingly is yar v'yayavar, better to dive into to have those kind of moral relations. But it's very, very unclear. To say a child like that is very strange. That a woman knows about herself, she's going to be willingly and everybody's going to give up her life. The kind of woman who's going to do it willingly is not likely to want to give up her life on account of that. Okay, so let's go further and see what Rashi says for the rest of the Gemara. Then the Gemara is really accurate and that's completed completely. So, Ho Vizim indeed, is Akana. Since that time, this Akana actually explains that's what's completed. So, Rashi said, Bashlishi Nami Afiubo. Then on Tuesday also, the Gemara asked this question, and this is the question that the Gemara asked. Given the other Shishkulin of Bashlishi, these Rashis are not necessarily so significant to our understanding of the Gemara. And Rashi then said, Nisrekalo Akanashe, given to our Kriyas Gamrahu. Because it's not a complete Kriyas, i.e., the Akanat Bezdin, Sreka Hilo, he's not sure whether there's going to be a wedding that day, and therefore he's not going to come. Okay, so perhaps one other idea that we could suggest for Rashi, based on Rashi's comment, will be Ake, Ho Vizin, and Diika Sakana, since there are times when there is a Sakana. Perhaps an idea we can suggest is as follows. When the Gemara answered Prutos and Tznuos, the Gemara was merely saying, why is that we can't tell the Tznuos that it's mutter? In other words, the movement of the Gemara was as follows. There are Tznuos who are going to give up their lives rather than go be together with the Hagman. So the Gemara asks, so let's tell them that it's okay and they're allowed to be together with their husbands afterwards and therefore they don't have to give up their lives. And they shouldn't give up their lives. So my answer is there are Tznuos and Prusos. There are Prusos and Kehenos. Perhaps the Gemara is trying to show with Prusos and Kehenos that it's because of those women we can't generally tell the public that it's okay to be together with the Hagman. And on account of people like Prusos and Kehenos, if we can't tell them, then we're back to square one. We can't tell them. Who knows they're going to go? They're going to think they have to give up their lives. And they're going to do that, and it's going to become a danger. So there are times when a Tzimah would give up her life because they're not able to tell them that it's mother. So perhaps you can suggest a explanation within the Rashi's explanation for the Gemara. That seems like a satisfactory idea. Let us take a look at Tosfos. Which Tosfos should we take a look at? I think the Lidrash Lehuda Onas Shari. I don't think we're going to do the entire thing, but let's just take a look at it. The two Tosfos that actually look at Dibur Maskel. It's the second one in the super wide lines. The Lidrash Lehuda Onas Shari. Tosfos is as follows: In the forest, the Parah Kafi. Don't say the Gemara is asking as follows: the Shuvlo Yehi Sakana. Let tell them that Onas is mother, and then there will no longer be a Sakana. Ela Onas. The Amarika Amar Mi Sakana Vielach. Havel Amina Onas Vielach. Which is sort of the way we explained it, because you're saying that it's true that would be bad, but at the end of the day, the Barzah did choose the lashon of Sakana, not Onas. And it's not a danger if we tell them not to give up their lives. So it says, don't explain the Gemara's question in that way. Din came that if that was the case, Ma'in Ashani Mishim Prutzos. How did they answer the question with Prutzos? They would not give up their lives even if we didn't tell them anything. So what does Prutzos have anything to do with the idea that why don't we tell them, oh, they're Prutzos? We won't give up their lives in any event. The Dafka Tznuos are named Gemara Shem HaShayah, which the Gemara just said. It's Dafka by Tznuos. The Gemara chose Lashon of Tznuos. Those are the people who won't give up their lives. And so there's another question. The Ode, the Chimi Shem Prutzos, and Yikulara, the Tznuos. And are you going to tell me that because of Prutzos, we're going to allow Tznuos to be killed? In other words, because of Prutzos, we're going to knock off the Tznuos that it's Mutter, which is sort of the idea that we expressed in Rashi, and therefore the Tznuos are going to end up being killed because the Prutzos who wouldn't give up their lives, this seems a little bit unfair. Elohim Yerusha, there was the explanation of the Gemara as follows. The Lidrash Lehuda Onas Shari, let us tell them that Onas, that the rape is Mutter, is Mutter. The Kivan, the Lech, of Sakana. And since there is no danger, Amai lo mikul yodim chachamim. Why is it that the Baisha said that the chachamim would not do any macha? Presumably, right, if there's no danger, why wouldn't the chachamim stop them from getting married on Tuesday, let them get married on Wednesday? Because there's no danger at this point. And now this explains how the Gemara's answer addresses that. When the Shani Mishan Bruce's lo mikul yodim. That they're not going to create any kind of a macha when it comes to this kind of situation is by virtue of them getting married on Tuesday, the Prutzos will avoid being together with the Hagmon willingly. Yidani Mishum Kehenos or the Kehenos will be together with the Hagmon, which would also be bad because they would become opposite to their husbands. Prutzos does not really spell out this idea of the Gemara's back and forth being all about Isha to the husbands. It would seem to me that Tosfos is back and forth in the Gemara is really more about whether or not a woman is in fact obligated to give up her life or not. That, I think, is a more simple chat. And if you look at Tosfos, the first Tosfos is Ludo and Ashari. I don't think we should read together, but he does get involved in the party of the three cardinal sins, which things you have to give up your life for, and why is that in this case a woman might not have to give up her life? Isn't it one of those three that a woman has to give up her life for? Even if it is an onus, it seems to me the Tosfos is really learning our Gemara, not as a back and forth about becoming usher to her husband, but rather more the pashtus, the simple explanation, which is that whether or not she actually has to give up her life. And as a result of that, he wasn't able to learn, like Rashi's simple explanation in the question, that don't tell me the lashon of the Mishnah is sakana because it's really an onas. Since, according to Tosfos, who I think is a little bit tricky and muddled, since according to Tosfos, We're not dealing with whether or not a woman's allowed to be together with her husband after the fact, or rather whether a woman's allowed to do the actual act in the first place. Therefore, he wasn't able to say that the Gemara's question is that the word sakana in the Braita is the wrong word, or rather it should be honest. Because in theory, sakana could be the right word if we're discussing something which a woman may have to give up her life for. So that was not something that had anything to do with Tosfos. However, in Rashi chose to learn that the Gemara is dealing with why exactly, whether or not a woman is going to be ushered to her husband as a result of these circumstances. Theoretically, the next step would be to try and figure out exactly what sort of, with Tosfos and Rashi's respective hechrechim to learn in the way that they did, what sort of was propelling them to learn their own particular mahalach. And they each have their own mahalach. Well, each mahalach has advantages and disadvantages. Why does Rashi pick his mahalach? Why does Tosfos pick his mahalach? And ordinarily, if we had the time, we'd want to try and figure out, well, Rashi's overall view of the sugya is X, and Tosfos doesn't quite grip the sugya in that way. And when you kind of nail down their machlokas to one or two small points, preferably one small point, and it all hinges on that one shift in understanding one way or the other, then you can understand how it was that they came to their respective understandings of the sugya. Unfortunately, the scope of this year does not allow for that type of depth, and we have to move on. Let us just finish this one last piece before we end. The Gemara then goes on to analyze the next part of the Braisa. Back in the Gemara says, "It's a shame that Yichnos. They did not pass the onus mother. But on Monday they could never get married, but if it was because of an onus, not if I can't, but an onus, then it's mother." So the Gemara asks, "My onus. What does the word onus refer to? What's the case of onus? We discussed what the case of sakana is, and we figured out that it's a case where a woman's going to have to be together with the husband first, but she might come to give up her life, so it's dangerous. What's the onus happening? If you want to tell me it's the case that we were already discussing, and now the Hegemon's coming even on Tuesday to be together with her." So the Gemara has a few problems with that approach. Over there we called it a danger, and here we're calling it an onus. Why are we calling the same situation by two different names? There we use the lashon of nahagu, and here we're using the lashon of mutter. Why are we using two different words to describe the halakhic status of getting of moving away from the takana of the hachamim? Is it just a matter that the people did it of their own accord? Is it something which is in fact mutter? That's how Rashi learns, I believe. Tosfos learns that question of nahagu and mutter slightly differently, but let us proceed. Certainly a valid question in any event. The words of invite are in fact different, nahagu and mutter. So, the Gemara answers Amar Rav. Rav answers exactly what was the onus here. The Amri Sar Tzava Balayir. That they said that, so there was an announcement made, a proclamation that a general, famous, some kind of a government official is coming to the city. So what? So he wanted to ask you, what exactly is the case? For this government official is coming that's going to disrupt the wedding, what exactly is the problem? Ida Asi V'chalas. If he's coming and leaving, Le'akev. So then, let's wait and push it off for some time. So Yomar says, "Lo, Shrika to Asi V'kava B'gimel." He's coming and staying on Tuesday, and so therefore we can't get married on Tuesday. We can't get married on Wednesday. He's still going to be here. So, Asi V'kava. He's coming and staying. So the Gemara begins with the Chinuch. Obviously, the Gemara assumes that the sort of status quo is made on Wednesday. He's coming on Wednesday. He's staying for a long time. So why can't we just get married? Why can't the girl just get married on Tuesday? Move it up one day. Why are you telling me it's mutter to get married on Monday? Move it up to Tuesday. The Gemara says, as far as the day, his procession is coming. His all his various accoutrements in terms of the people and the various things are coming ahead of him. The Gimel, they're coming on Tuesday. The Gimel to us, that's when they're coming. And therefore, we can't get married on Tuesday, and therefore, we were allowed to push it up to Monday. And the Gemara is going to give a new explanation of what the Onas is. I think we'll pick it up from there the next time. I apologize, we've not had a chance to go into a little bit more depth in terms of there's a few machlokes and Rashi and Tosfos on that last piece about exactly what the Onas is and what happens when this general comes and who are his possession and what is the problem when the possession when they all come. Rashi seems to explain that it's the problem is they're going to come and eat the food. Tosfos seems to learn that way as well, though it's not as clear. And Tosfos also gets involved in exactly what it means they're coming and they're staying, how long are they staying for. Rashi seems to be the only thing for a short time. The Tosfos seems to be the only thing for an even longer time, and that's why we really can't straight class that they leave, because it's not just a few weeks, it must be a really long time. Suffice to say, once again, it'd be nice if we could go into a little more depth in terms of the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. However, it'd be nice if the next time we can start from the next piece, and I think that this will pick up from. We're going to discuss exactly this other kind of onus that the Gemara is going to present. Have a good week, everyone, and take care.